And now joining me in the KRVS studios are Mary Bate and Giuliano Cesari. Mary Bate, along with Brian Guidry, curated the exhibit that is in the main gallery of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, as well as the other galleries. The exhibit that we'll be talking about with Giuliano today is Passion, the Art of Collecting. This Saturday is Second Saturday Art Walk, and many people will have the opportunity to see the exhibits. Of course, you all are open for free on Second Saturday Art Walk.
Yes.
So a lot of people do wait for that. Before we talk specifically about Passion, the Art of Collecting, tell us about all of the exhibits that will be open to the public this Saturday.
Well, the Passion Collection has 178 pieces of art from BC to current, but that doesn't include, there's probably another 150 pieces in a small curiosity cabinet that are really quite fascinating. We also have, in the side gallery, we have a New Orleans artist, Cynthia Scott, that runs through January 5th. The show is titled, The Spiders from Mars Drop In on the Boom Boom Room. Scott uses recycled materials or readily available materials to fabricate her art. In this particular exhibition, she explores human responsibility and ecological disaster. Some of the works look at Three Mile Island, the Exxon Valdez, the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill, as well as others. In the Coca-Cola studio, we have a new exhibition. It will run through January 10th, and it's Gene Rosen. Actually, that's February 2nd, and it's Gene Rosen. And Gene grew up in California and moved to Louisiana in the early 2000s. She was fascinated by our music and our culture, but she's a very serious painter, I would say an obsessive painter. The show is called Overview, and it's a selection of paintings that she does from life. They're still lives, but it's also a collection of paintings that she does that are passages in her life that have profound emotional moments that she captures. And in the vault, we have Deborah Summerall, and she collaborates with Carolyn Marino, and their exhibition is called Bound by Silk, and it's beautifully dyed silk scarves and fashion. And so that's on display through December 15th, a really good place for Christmas shopping.
So this is available, all of these exhibits opening for Second Saturday Art Walk,
yes,
which is from
free and open to the public, six to nine.
You have that opportunity. And joining us this afternoon again, very kindly, Giuliano Cesari, whose collection is in the main gallery at the ACA. Many of our listeners, Giuliano, may have had the pleasure of hearing you and Mary the last time you were on, just before the exhibit opened up. And there's been quite a response. There were a lot of people at the opening for the first night. Were you pleased with the responses that night, Giuliano?
Oh, yes. You know, it was quite beautiful. In fact, lots of people, and people ask me all kind of questions. So this is a this is exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have much time to speak about art, so right. Why not?
Right. Well, and a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about a gallery talk that you'll give this coming week, so people will have time to hear
yes.
you talk more about the art. I believe Mary mentioned that there were a number of school groups that came through
Correct.
As well.
Yep.
And what was the response? Were they children?
Yes. I think probably between 8 to about 12. And many children, very, very interested, asking all kind of interesting questions. In fact, very intelligent question. I was really very surprised, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, our listeners may remember, if they heard you the last time, that you said that you bought your first piece at about the age of 11.
Correct.
So that was perfectly appropriate for these children to be hearing that. I was able to see the exhibit as well. I went and I had the opportunity to be there when nobody else was. And I'm going to encourage people to try and do that. This is one exhibit that you will want to enjoy in perfect silence with no one around. This exhibit, Giuliano, has, and I've talked to a few people who have been as well, affects people emotionally. I love museums. I've been to quite a number of museums. There's something very rigid about the way many museums put the pieces, and they want you to focus on one piece at a time. But the way the curators, Mary and Brian, put your work together, was so lyrical, so beautiful, bound pieces so emotionally together. It was just stunning to see that. How did you feel about working with them and seeing your pieces put
up on the wall? Quite wonderful. I think we worked for about a week
at least,
to put together the exhibition, and I enjoy any moment. You know, the response from them is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was surprised almost. You know, everything done in literally less than 10 days. I mean, it was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Now, these pieces in this exhibit are a part of the collection of the Georgia Museum of Art, and they take care of these pieces for you.
Correct, yes.
And you can go and visit them.
Yes, actually, I can go and visit them. Occasionally, I can ask them, can I have these pieces back? And nicely, if they don't use for a special old exhibition, yes, they let me take this some home occasionally, mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I asked that question because as I was walking through the exhibit, the emotions are so strong when you're seeing these pieces, and the sense of them being part of a personal collection is so strong that I had this feeling that how can he let them go? How can he give them up? How can he not be with them?
You cannot have everything. Believe me, this is about 170 pieces, mm-hmm. but in my house I have probably at least on the wall, I think I have at least 300-400 more pieces. So taking this down was easy, because I can put back all the pieces I don't see for the last few months.
You get to revisit
exactly.
Other pieces.
Right. And also changing space to a certain art piece, you really see for in a different light, in a different way. You see for the first time again. Mm-hmm. You discover things you don't see before. Mm-hmm. So it's really quite wonderful.
Well, let's talk about some of the pieces that are in this. The range is unbelievable. I know I had asked you the last time what the oldest piece was, and it's the head, the Roman head that's in there.
Correct.
But I think it's the when I first walked in, I looked in the first corner where the title of the exhibit is, and there's a Tom Secrest painting and a page from a book that was the first non-religious book.
Correct.
Printed.
The Liber Coricaro, and it's the first non-religious book printed in 1493.
I mean,
yes. It's amazing, you know.
Well, let's talk about what attracted you to some of these pieces, because, I felt very strongly looking at these pieces that these were part of a personal collection, that there was a very personal response to these pieces. What attracts you to a piece of art?
It's very difficult to say. You look at a drawing and you feel... You try to imagine how the artist felt when the artist actually started doing this drawing. In fact, this is why I tend to prefer work of art on paper, sketch drawing, more sketch sometime and more I prefer, because you can see the freshness of the idea of the artist, how the artist felt, what is his feeling when he... use a certain color, a certain line. And this is very important in a work of art. It really attracts you emotionally. And I think also people looking at the exhibition realize that. And this is why I think, it's so incredible. I mean, occasionally you see a painting, an impressionist painting is also, like a drawing, because it's really spontaneous. But many times, in painting, you can change. In the drawing, you can never change.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of oohing and aahing when we mentioned how old some of the pieces are. But after a while, you forget about that. And particularly the way Mary and Brian have put some of the pieces together, where there's a very, very old drawing from the 16th century right next to a drawing that was done in the United States in the 20th
yeah,
century.
Correct.
But what you're talking about, that emotional response... is there.
Yes, because you put a certain feeling, the drawing give you a certain feeling together with another piece. It doesn't matter if they are these two different time. The feeling, the response is the same thing. You put, lampscape with a lampscape, because it's really, what you want to see, what you imagine to see. Many times it's really not what you see in the paper, what is in your mind. Mm-hmm. It's a reflection of how you're feeling inside you.
Mm-hmm. Well, describe some of the figure drawings that you have. And they're not all the same. I mean, I've seen a lot of figure drawings and a lot of classes, art classes here, students drawing. But the ones you've chosen, what is it, for those of us who are lay people who really don't know art that well, what is it when you see a drawing that creates that feeling inside of you? What is it about that piece?
Well, it's difficult to say, because different drawing give you a different feeling. For example, if you look Fortuny, okay, it's one of the brochure. It's a fantastic 19th century drawing, and you see the back of a person, but you feel how the artist fell. You see the my English is not good enough, but you see how the artist revere this figure. You see the movement of the dress, and you feel, how the person feel in the moment. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you see a different drawing, a very, very sketchy drawing of a very sketchy figure, it's a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. But the sentiment is there. Mm-hmm. They inside you, but most of the time is really, is a reflection of you inside. You look in art.
Mm-hmm. And again, that struck me, whether that was a piece from the 15th century or a piece that you had chosen that someone sketched 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was struck as well by your omnivorousness. You cannot label what you're interested in at all.
No, unfortunately, I collect everything. This is my problem.
Is there a word for that, an omnivore in art?
I don't think so. My mother used to come in my bedroom when I was a young boy, and she used to say, "I don't understand why you collect." She don't use collect. You accumulate all this trash. I don't understand. And I say, well, I'm sorry, but, this is really my passion. What do you want for me to do? And in the beginning, I really don't know exactly what I want to do, except then it become a necessity to really open a shop and try to do in my life, because I cannot live without.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you develop your expertise? I think people are probably fascinated by that. You didn't go to art college. There are a lot of degrees now. You can get your master's degree in arts administration and museum curating. That's not how. How did you learn so much about art?
Well, I first studied per restoration, and then each time you buy a new piece, you need to first one try to see work of the same period, of work by the same artist, and study the artist. You buy, in this case, Stefano Della Bella, and then I start to study all the work by the artist. So then, when you go and see another pieces by the same artist, you realize, then you start to look people working in the same time of the same artist. From Della Bella, you go to Callot, to go to, other artists working in the same, in Florence or in Paris, in the same period. And then you acquire knowledge, and then you learn to see a certain type of work. Then when you see a work you never saw before, you say, oh, this is familiar. And remind me this artist, you saw maybe years before. In fact, it happened recently. I was in New Orleans, and I saw a drawing done in 1670, and I never saw this drawing before, but I know the hand of the artist. And I remember in 1967 in Florence, I saw an exhibition in the French Institute, and I saw a work by the same artist. And I was able to go through my books and find actually the same artist. It's a different view of the same drawing, but it's obviously the same artist done in the same time, probably the same day.
And who was the artist?
The artist is a Flemish artist. Flemish. I forgot. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Well, I think we're all astonished at what you know, and I think
I tend to forget name,
but the line, but you never forget.
But never forgot the image. This is the important thing. Yes.
Well, so in addition to a passion for collecting, you have a passion for knowledge as well, and research for art.
Yeah, this is the part I prefer more. I really adore the research part. When you discover everything, then you know you become bored almost. You buy a wonderful painting, you know, and you say, oh, this is wonderful. Then, you know, you say, okay, you know, this is okay. It's nothing more to discover. Mm-hmm. But in a drawing or a modern work of art, oh, each day, each time you see the pieces, you discover something new. And this is wonderful.
So you're describing something that for most of us is very mysterious. To say you understood the line, you saw the line, you
yes.
recognized that line. Try and explain to us, and I want to tell people who are just tuning in, my guest is Giuliano Cesari and Mary Bate. We're talking about Passion, the Art of Collecting, which is an exhibit at the ACA right now. This is Giuliano's collection, part of it, a very small part of it, that's on display now. How would you describe to us, what do you look for? What's different from line to line in a drawing?
Well, you just look at a drawing and you, in first one, you say, okay, what feeling give me? Is this give me a pleasure of feeling? Or if the drawing, I'm waiting for the drawing to speak to you. And this is the important thing. I remember an old restorer told me, and I still keep this in mind, it's very true. If you look at a work of art and the drawing really, really take you and really grab you, and you say and you scream to you, you know, I'm the real thing, I'm the real good thing, look me. Trust this instinct. If you want to be good, but something bother you, don't buy the drawing, because it's probably a copy or it's not what you're looking for. You know, the drawing has to speak with you, and this is the important thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's an emotional feeling.
It's an emotional feeling, yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to understand that, because that's what I was overwhelmed with as
but
I was walking
through. But this is true with all art. Mm-hmm. It's true with modern art. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember see work by contemporary artists, and I really feel in love when I saw the work, because the work tell me and say, "Oh, grab me," you know, say, "Look me," because I'm really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's what will strike people, because it's not just the 16th century drawings that you have.
Correct.
You have contemporary paintings, and you have works by people from Louisiana.
Many people from Louisiana, yes.
That you felt that response to when you saw
yes.
their works.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, many times I saw the work and I seek the artist and I say, I'm sorry, I really love your work and I would like to buy some of your work, because I feel I need to live with some of your work. And this is important, I think.
It's like a personal relationship with each one of the pieces that you purchase.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people are used to hearing about art collecting as a business venture. And that's how a lot of people talk about it. What's valuable? How much do you get for that? How much can it be
speculating.
Sold? Speculating about pieces of art. And that's not something I ever hear when you
I'm
talk
sorry,
about art.
I'm sorry. For me, the value is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the important is how you feel. And it's not important if you pay a few dollar or few thousand dollar, if the work speak with you and grab you and say, you know, I'm good, this is the important thing.
Well, and I think that's what people will feel when they go to the exhibit with every single piece that is in this exhibit. So these are the drawings. We've been focusing on the drawings because truly those do speak to people emotionally, and I think they'll find
yes.
that when they go. But you have many other pieces. You have some artifacts in there. You have a whole wall of pottery, majolica.
Yes.
Talk about some of those pieces. What speaks to you with tangible,
well,
useful objects like that?
I don't know. I think they are work of art.
Or plates and bowls.
Yes.
And,
I mean, a wonderful decorated plate is really a drawing on porcelain or on terracotta. It's like a nice sculpture. I mean, I found a wonderful padlock in a little antique shop. I cannot resist. I mean, it was fantastic. It's done in the 18th century. They have a beautiful bird, still with some of the original color. I cannot let go. I mean, they're really a fantastic work of art. It's a sculpture. What do you want? I mean, it's, you know, you cannot, if I can afford, I will buy, of course, and some wonderful cross and marble sculpture. Well,
yes, the crosses. I was so taken with the crosses and the way that the curators Mary and Brian put those there.
Yes,
so simply when you walk into that exhibit, there are what, five or six crosses on the floor.
Right.
When did you start collecting crosses?
I think I bought them, my first one, when I went to Scott, Louisiana, about 30 years ago, in a flea market in Scott, Louisiana. And this guy approached me, and I was looking this cross. And he said, well, and I said, well, you don't steal this from a cemetery. He said, oh, no. Some guy gave me this. They actually replaced this for a cement one. And I say, oh, you sure? And say, yes. I say, okay, how much do you want? And I bought the cross because I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it's raw iron done probably in the 18th century in Louisiana, so why not? I mean, again, I look this as a symbol, but more than a symbol, I look as a work of art.
And they are simple, these crosses. They're not terribly ornate.
Correct.
They're iron, many of them from Louisiana.
Correct.
And you also have a lovely, I guess, baptismal bowl or holy water bowl.
Holy water
font,
bowl, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That you got in New Orleans.
I got this in New Orleans, mm-hmm. Yes, years ago. I'm not sure where it come from, but I know it was probably from some church in New Orleans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, if you want to give yourself a Christmas present, go to this exhibit. You will feel, particularly if you get a chance to go by yourself, you'll feel like you're walking into church somehow.
It's visual poetry.
Visual poetry and the emotional feel of each individual piece.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Now, we haven't even talked yet about the curiosity cabinet. I know, Mary, there are how many pieces in the curiosity cabinet? About 100?
Oh, I think probably more than 100, yes.
And from, it's not big. It's like a big medicine mm-hmm. cabinet. It's not very large.
No,
it's like 3x4.
I think,
3x4.
Yeah.
It's not big.
I think the early pieces is probably some Middle East silk. It's probably between 5 and 6,000 BC to the cuneiform tablet to some 19th century pieces, you know.
Tell them about the little buttons that you thought were buttons.
This is the seal. Yes, it was sold to me as a button. I think I was maybe 17, 18 year old.
Tell them for how much.
Oh, I think I pay something like less the equivalent of, you know, $2.
But you thought they were nice buttons.
Yeah, well, no, actually, I know it was not a button.
Oh, you knew it was not.
Yes, I don't know exactly what was. In fact, it was at least 4 years later, I discovered from the Magazine du Louvre, they have an article on Middle East seal, and they label this as the early seal in the war.
Like seals you would seal a letter with.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is a bronze seal and with a geometrical design because we are in the, of course, Islamic. So, and they date this between 5 and 6,000 years old. And
$2.
The Louvre actually happened to have 6 of this seal.
And how many did you have?
I just have 2. Sorry.
And those are in this curiosity cabinet.
Yes.
Yes. This is a part of the exhibit, Giuliano Cesari's exhibit called Passion, the Art of Collecting. It's a curiosity cabinet. Unbelievable. You could stand there for a couple hours looking at all the pieces. And I noticed you have some very tiny reliquaries also.
Correct. Yes.
Tiny. Tell us about those.
Well, I think was in the 70s when... in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Pope decided to ask the priest to retire, And many of the priests in Italy was very angry. So they decide to make money and try to sell all the reliquiary. This is how I bought mine, in fact. I used to have a little shop downtown in Florence, and I used to have the guy, actually, the chiericate working for the priest in the church close to my house, used to come and say, well, we're interested in this thing. Do you want to offer something? You know, my Monsignor asked me if you want to buy some of this. In fact, this is where I bought my reliquiary of three saints, some Philip Neri, some Philip Apostle, some Vincent de Paul. I bought from the church in New Florence, in San Remigio.
And remind our listeners what reliquaries are. We've been saying this.
They're actually a small fragment of bone, or it could be also a clothes. It could be a fragment, actually, the saint actually touch. Mm-hmm. Yes. And in this a seal in a container. And in the back is actually the stamp of the cardinal. So they are, you know, no one can really do anything except, you know, they are done by the church. Mm-hmm. Probably at least in the 18th century, sometime in the 17th century. Yeah.
And so you have some in the curiosity cabinet
as
yes. well. Describe some of the other objects that are in there.
Well, I have some Hittite seal. I have some Hittite ring. I have a wonderful wood carving of Madonna, German, about 1500, 15 or 10, something like that. I have a beautiful ivory sculpture of a monk done probably around 1300. I mean, there's so many
yes,
little
an Egyptian
objects.
Cat. A little Egyptian cat.
Oh,
that would
I have
be
a
sewn
beautiful
into your garment when you passed on into the other world.
And this yes. is all in a cabinet about 3 yes. feet by 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason to go to this exhibit, you need to stand in front of the curiosity cabinet. Again, we're talking about an exhibit at the ACA curated by my guests Mary Bate and Brian Guidry called Passion, the Art of Collecting, from the collection of Giuliano Cesari, who is with us sharing his journey of collecting art. These pieces are through at the Georgia Museum of Art. They are helping you preserve and keep many of the pieces that you have, but they allow you to visit them and bring them to us.
Correct.
To see them in this exhibit, and I hope to get back there several times before the exhibit is over to spend time with some of these pieces. Pieces as old, what is the oldest piece, your Roman head that's in that?
I think probably 6,000 years BC is probably mm-hmm. the older pieces.
The oldest
there.
Pieces yeah. in there, all the way up to contemporary Louisiana art. A very personal exhibit, and beautifully arranged by the curators. Really, really lovely. So we've got the curiosity cabinet, beautiful drawings, artifacts, the crosses we talked about. Not only will people have the opportunity to go to the opening this Saturday for Second Saturday Art Walk, but you're giving a talk next Thursday, December 13th.
Correct.
A week from today.
People are invited. It's free, Mary?
Free. Yes.
And how is it going to be set up? What are you going to do, Giuliano? Just take people around
probably
the gallery?
Probably take people around mm-hmm. and ask them to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best way.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said earlier before you started the interview that you would hope that people would just let these pieces speak to us.
Correct.
It really helps to hear you talk about them.
Well, thank you.
It's really beautiful. It's like poetry listening to you talk.
I think if I talk about, I probably left my passion going and influence the other people, and I don't think I want to do that too much.
You want them to have their own passion
Correct.
For these pieces, yes. Well, with the pieces that you all chose, it's very easy. There is a quality that just ties them all together and a response. And I think if anyone goes to the exhibit, they'll feel that.
Yeah, there's also, every piece has a story. So it's like beyond learning about the art historical aspect of it, you find these quirky stories on how he came upon these pieces, because it's not just like, oh, he just like makes a checklist and says, I'll buy that, and that. It's like they each have this strange way that they
spoke
entered into his life.
I generally
and where
remember.
He found them. I mean, the white column in the corner, there's a marble column in the corner. tell that story, because that's such a fascinating story.
Oh, come on.
Well, we may have to wait until the gallery talk. We're running a little bit out of time here, but people can talk with you on Saturday. You'll be there at the exhibit 6 to 9 at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Of course, all of the galleries will be open on Saturday, but in the main gallery, a collection of Giuliano Cesare's works that he's been collecting all of his life. And the very first piece that you collected is in that exhibit.
Really, correct. Yes.
Really lovely. And it's even labeled that so people can see it. But you've got Degas drawings in there. You have Monet drawing in there as well.
Dubuffet.
Sisley.
But right next to, again, people from the 20th century in America as well as Louisiana artists. And you do see that wonderful arc that just connects them in the heart of Giuliano Cesare.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Giuliano. People can hear more as well this Saturday and next Thursday, a week from today. There will be a gallery talk at the ACA, 6 o'clock. It's free. People can go in and again hear these stories and talk with you about these very special personal pieces. My guest, Mary Bate, co-curated this exhibit, Passion, the Art of Collecting, with Brian Guidry. It will be up through January 12th. My guest, Giuliano Cesare, with us here in Lafayette since the 70s, collecting for so many decades, and now sharing it with us all. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.